Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show. We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Well, good day to you, wherever you are in the world. I am so happy to be here with you. I really am. And it's a fantastic day because I got an amazing guest. The sun is finally shining outside. It's minus 16, but the sun is shining. Did I tell you the good news? The sun is shining. So that's absolutely fantastic. Before I introduce my guest to you, I just wanted to remind you about last week's guest, Julian Hanford. You remember the artist whose epic art installation is hopefully going to go up, and he's going to remind us and help us commemorate the end of World War II, the 70th anniversary, also to commemorate and educate this generation about the Holocaust. And I encourage you to visit www.fall15.com because his Fundy site is now up. That's a site for artists, and you can donate to his cause. And I hope that you do because I think it's an important one. I really do. I do have the chat room open as well, so you can join us in there. If you'd like to join us on air, we would love to have you join our conversation. 845-241-9943. Again, 845-241-9943, and hit the one, and you'll be seen in my host queue. My guest this week has a unique ability to help anyone, transform them, turn their world upside down and all around, to enable them to transform their lives in fun and surprising ways. Almost reminds me of the Hokey Pokey. Her book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, has won her 4 awards as an author in the self-help, motivation, best new nonfiction, and self-improvement categories. She is also an award-winning radio host of The Best People We Know. I'm sure you've heard her here. And as such, has been interviewed some absolutely amazing guests. And we'll talk to her about those in a little while. She's one of the busiest, most enthusiastic, and motivating people I know. Yet, like so many of us, her life hasn't always been filled with pixie dust and sunshine. She's had to deal with sexual abuse, others' alcoholism, family dysfunction. She's also the sole caregiver for each of her parents until their passing of cancer. And she has encountered financial devastation. So how did she overcome all of this to be the dynamic woman she is today? Well, let's ask her. Please welcome Deb Scott. Welcome, Deb.
Oh, my gosh. You are too cute. Did I tell you I loved you today? You are just adorable. And I got to tell you, that intro, if that doesn't make you feel good, nothing will. I love it.
I love you. And everybody's going to love you. If they haven't heard from you or don't know about you today, they're going to meet you and love you as much as everybody else does because you've got a huge following of people that just absolutely adore you. So I want to... Let's start with the you know, maybe not the so much good stuff, and then we'll work our way to the happy ending. You understand pain and suffering. You know about death. You've encountered heartache in your life. These are big challenges. Sexual abuse, you know, looking after parents who are dying of cancer. That's a lot for one person to go through. Deb, how did you get through all of this? What's inside you? What is it? Tell us.
Well, listen, everybody needs to read your book because anybody who has knows that you've been through a world of challenges yourself. You know, here's the thing. Everybody has pain and suffering. Everybody. Mm-hmm. There is not one person, please raise your hand if you are the person that is exempt from pain and suffering or love and joy. I have never met anybody who is happy and perfect all the time, who hasn't had any challenge. You know, nobody has to be born. Nobody gets right. exempt from dying. It's part of something that we all have in common. But what I do think is uncommon are the people that seem to deal with those things and come out better for them. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that that's where we can make that choice. That's where we have an opportunity. And I'm the first one to admit that I've gone down screaming. I really did not enjoy and would not recommend somebody be sexually abused by a teacher. I would not recommend somebody dealing with growing up with alcoholism and then having dysfunctional relationships and being engaged and dealing with all that drama that you need to dump. I would not encourage somebody to do that. I would not encourage somebody, you know, to have to take care of their parents and hold them in their arms while they pass away or hold them up over the toilet while they're throwing up from cancer treatments. I would not suggest that somebody do that. I would not suggest someone have $1 million and then have it stolen in a Ponzi scheme only to find out what the word Ponzi means from CNN News. You know, I would never recommend anybody to do that. However, I would recommend to learn from others, to know that we're not finished yet, and to have the hope that there is a way to have peace and growth and prosperity, not in spite of all those things, but maybe because of all those things.
Well,
and
you said
an important word.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you there, but I don't want to bypass this because I think it's important. You said we have a choice. We have a choice. Bad things happen to us. That's not our choice. But our choice is how we're going to deal with those. That is our choice. Is that correct?
Exactly. And, you know, here's another thing that took me, and I still have to, believe me, I swallow my own words. I have to
do everything I'm saying
is only because, hello, I've had to, like, I'm learning through this the hard way, and I'm always learning every day, and I'm always eating humble pie. And, you know, thank you, and I love you, and I'm sorry are words that don't go out of style. So I guess the point is I grew up always feeling like if I felt a certain way, that meant that that's who I was. If I felt upset, life must be upset. If I felt angry or afraid, that life must be that. If I felt like, you know, I had somebody's approval, then everything must be okay. And what I learned the hard way is that we don't really have any control over most emotions. We don't have any control over those initial reactions. And I'm not my body, and I can prove that, and I can tell anybody else you're not your body because, you know, 20 years ago, did you look the same as you do now? No.
Right.
Well, are you your emotions?
Drive around it.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just the vehicle of the moment. And it's not our feelings. I mean, do you feel the same way as you did even yesterday?
No.
I don't even feel the same way as I did an hour ago. So feelings come and go. Those are not things that really define me. What defines me, what defines you, what defines all of us listening today is our actions.
Right.
And that is all about free will.
Well, you're a coach. I'm a coach. And we talk in coaching about the difference between responding and reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're talking about, is we all have a reaction. And then if you take that breath so that you can make the choice on how you're going to act, then you're responding instead of reacting to bad things. And that can make a big difference. That can make a really big difference, I think.
And the only way that we can have a new reaction, the only way that we can have a new feeling, the only way we can be something new is if we know something new. You have to get it into your head before it can get into your heart to come out of your hands and feet. And I think that's where, you know, that's where radio shows, that's where books, that's where, you know, having a coach, you know, we have to learn from somebody else. Nobody, you know, learn the English language on their own. Nobody did anything on their own. So, you know, one of the most important things to do is to really open your mind to learn from other people and to learn from other experiences. So that's what I'm passionate about, and that's why I share things, and I think that's why you share things, is people have helped me, and it's my responsibility to pay that forward.
Right. I agree with that. And, you know, you can't short circuit things though, and you can read and learn from other people. And I know as a coach, and I'm sure that you encounter this all the time too, that people, there are these junkies who come and they want to hear the right answer. And the right answer is that there's a bit of hard work that you have to do a little bit, you know, in order to move forward sometimes. And they don't want to do that work. And they just want it, you know, magically to all disappear. And unfortunately, it doesn't just magically disappear, but there is a formula. And you have a formula, and I have a formula, and a lot of other people have their formulas that help them move forward in their lives. And I want to get to your formula in a little bit. But I want to go back to, you mentioned sexual abuse from a teacher, and it just sparked something in me because, you know, I had sexual abuse from a teacher when I was 14, and I didn't really think about it as sexual abuse, but it is. And I was taking guitar lessons, and he was an older gentleman, and you know, he was always staring at my breasts, and then one day he tried to touch my breasts. And I would always go there wearing overalls. You know, I remember wearing overalls because I didn't even want to appear feminine, but I really wanted to learn guitar. And you know what? To this day, I have a guitar, and I still don't know how to play it. And I think he has colored every teacher I've ever had trying to move forward in that. It was a time when people didn't really think about sexual abuse, and I just thought, oh, he's just a horny old guy. You know, I'd stay away from him. And I don't even think I told my parents, which is kind of strange. What happened?
Believe me, not so strange, not so strange. And that's, I think, and I'm sorry to hear that you went through that. And hey, I'm sorry I went through that. But
yeah, me too.
Look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing today. And here's the good news about somebody who can listen to this. We didn't even know that something was wrong. And then I think that that's where we have to open our minds to say, you know what? There may be more going on here than I understand. Maybe we have a feeling that it was the horny old man, or maybe there was a feeling that, you know, I just want to wear overalls, or maybe there's a feeling that, you know, I was dealing with all those things that I was dealing with with that sexual abuse. Oh, you know, I have to, or, you know, a teacher would never hurt me, or the teacher must know better, or whatever it is that we have justified in our head. You just don't know certain things.
No.
And it's, I think that's so hard to not blame oneself that this is some sort of deserving punishment. No, this is called life. People do bad things, do wrong things, but that doesn't mean that good still can't come out of it and that we can't become better.
Okay, and you need to listen to this woman, everybody, because she is a brainiac. She is so smart. She really is. You know, Deb, I got to tell everybody, you graduated, you know, beta, 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 honors biology major in college. And if you don't know what that is, it's a society for students, particularly undergrads, dedicated to improving the understanding and appreciation of biological study and extending the boundaries of human knowledge through scientific research. Did you hear that? She became an award-winning cardiovascular sales specialist for 20 years, and she has worked with and been in surgery with some of the best cardiac surgeons in the world. So this is not somebody who just, you know, fell off the cabbage patch. You're very bright. You're very smart, and I don't know how you went from that to this, but let's talk about that. I mean, you must be an overachiever. Do you think that anything that happened to you, like that teacher, the sexual abuse, did it turn you into this overachieving, you know, person? Or do you think that was always your personality? Were you always positive, motivated? Who were you like at 5 and 6?
Oh my gosh, at 5 and 6, I can barely remember yesterday. It's so hard.
No.
You know, I got to tell you, Frankie, I really feel very blessed, and I feel very humbled, and I've really gone down screaming like a spoiled little brat on most lessons, and I just every day have
that,
to.
By the way.
Well, hey, it's join the human race, but I
is
do
that
think
how you look down,
that
how you get up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, as far as career choices, the personal choices, the spiritual choices, I think that everything always does somehow overlap and work together. But
yeah.
my quest is really to find, you know, who am I? And
right.
and what can I contribute before I leave here? You know, that old quote, Peter Drucker, I think it is, that says the best thing you can do with your life is to create something that outlasts it. And, mm-hmm. you know, the things that bring me peace, those are things that I seek. And wanting to know the truth of who I am or the situation, and that, to me, is something that it gives me a spiritual compass every day. You know, that other quote, I, you know, count your day by the sows you see, the seeds you sow and not the harvest you reap. Not
mm-hmm.
being attached to results and just trying to do the next right thing, that to me is a lot of humility to realize
mm-hmm.
that some days my life is none of my business. I didn't, and I said it earlier, none of us asked to be born, and none of us knows
right.
when we're going to leave. So you have to do the best you can. What do you seek? Most people want to be happy, have peace,
right.
be loved. You know, well, what's going to get you there? If you're upset and you're feeling anxiety, stress, and fear, then obviously there's something wrong. But the good in that is it's a stop sign on the road to not get into a traffic jam or a car accident. You know, God gives us those emotions to tell us, okay, ask a question. This is an indication. This is a gift. Stress, anxiety, love, fear, all those emotions are gifts. They're telling you where you are on the path. It's not right or wrong. It's more near or far. And I think that the gift, to me, is being more concerned about, and I'm not trying to get on a holy roller thing, but I do
right.
think if you, there's one thing that breaks or makes it, for me, is having faith in God, a faith in that,
okay.
you know, bigger than me, that there's a bigger
right.
reason. You know, the 7
right.
billion people on the planet, people have been around for thousands and thousands of years. You know, it just, things have been going on a lot longer than I've been here, and they'll be going on a lot longer than after me. So how does it all fit in? Well,
right.
it does in the sense that I don't have to understand to enjoy. And, you know, just being, looking at things and asking more questions rather than having to always have the answers and being attached to those results, you know, that's a big shift for me. And not
right.
being so concerned what everybody else thinks, but being more concerned what God thinks, because, you know, pleasing everybody is impossible. Changing
yeah.
the framework and the definitions of things and looking at myself as sort of a third-party person, like, okay, what does that mean? What does that say? What can I learn?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have for a long time talked about love and fear as being the only two emotions, Course in Miracles and all that. Well, I would say
right.
to me that there's only two free will choices, trust or pride. And they're very closely married to love and fear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, that's a litmus test for me.
Well, I'm going to take you back a few steps because I know that there are people listening to this who would say happiness is having $1 million. Now, you had $1 million and you told us that, you know, that it was lost to you. And so how did that affect your life? Did money give you happiness or are you happier now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would tell you that I don't wish anybody to have $1 million and then have it stolen. I wouldn't wish that.
Right.
But in my case, I will say that I am a better person because of that. And I'm not sure that I would have learned the things any other way except through that. And
mm-hmm.
I would say that though that change is more priceless, worth more than the money, because the
right.
money can come and go. And here's why. When I had that $1 million, you know, and $500,000 was what I had earned in medical sales and selling my home and things like that, and then my parents with their high school educations in their real estate business, you know, they had saved $500,000. So when they passed away, I had this $1 million, and people were saying, you got to invest, you got to put it here, you can't do that. Anyway, So I was probably pretty zoned out from just burying two parents.
Sure.
Very. And
did
I don't think I was.
Time?
What
I'm
was
sorry,
that?
Deb.
A year apart.
Like, a year apart. Okay. Wow.
And so I really didn't think about the money. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just knew I had stopped working to take care of them. I knew I had enough money, but I really wasn't thinking about it. I wouldn't say that it was ingratitude as much as I just wasn't thinking about it. You know,
right.
I had earned that, and my parents said, you know, I just didn't think of it as $1 million. And
right.
I guess in, you know, in my case, there was a sense of security in that. And for me, that security was really based on, okay, I have that money in the bank, or I have that money invested now, I'm all set, everything's okay. And that the big lesson was, you know what? There is nothing that gives you security. Not mm-hmm. money, not looks, not fame, not fortune. There is nothing, nothing that gives
mm-hmm.
you security. And the only security can come from that peace that you have in your heart. And where does that come from? That's
mm-hmm.
got to come on a relationship on a higher plane. That's a whole spiritual realm. So I had to learn that the money was not going to make me secure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'll never live without this money. I can't believe this is happening. How could somebody do this? This is impossible. There's a Department of Justice, there's a Security and Exchange Commission, you know, the whole thing. You go through it.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm still here. The sun has still come up. Life has still gone on. And I still eat. I still have a roof over my head. And I'm a better person because I've learned things. And my priorities have changed.
I had a conversation with Gina Woods from Owie Bow Wowie the other day, and she was telling me about one of her, a man that she knew, ultra rich, and could have invested in her and could have given her the money to, you know, for Owie Bow Wowie. But he said to her, Gina, I could give you the money today, but I don't want to rob you of the experiences. And she said, Frankie, he did the best thing he could have done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. Like, you got experiences from not having that money. You learned a whole lot of things since that time forward. And you know, for the better. My dad said to me once, anybody mm-hmm. can do it with money. He goes, anybody can do it with money. What can you do without money? And I always took that as a personal creative challenge. You know? I love the idea of thinking.
Yeah, and that really does make sense, because the deeper question that we have to ask ourselves is, what are we attaching? What emotion are we attaching to that money? What are we attaching? What is it that we're, because what we're really seeking in any relationship, in anything mm-hmm. that we do, there's always a motivation. So you have to check your motivation. So is it money that you want? Is it security that you want? Is it, you know, not, is it, what is that false sense of, you know, whatever we've attached to it? And you never know how much something means to you. It's true. Until you experience that pain of having it gone. So, you know, if you want to know how attached you are to something, how much does it hurt you to not have it? You know, that's why you can be in love with someone so much in a healthy way, and they can pass, and you can mm-hmm. be in tears, but you can still have peace. Why? Because that love transcends something beyond what you want, what's in it for you, or something. You know, you can get into that place of being grateful. And gratitude, the cliche of gratitude, you know, it's like, oh, well, just be grateful. Well, how do you just be grateful? Well, force upon yourself a situation that creates a feeling that makes it real for you to know what not having that is, or that person is, or that situation is, and you'll experience gratitude. And that's one of the things that I always have to force myself to do, is to have that discipline of using my free will to examine myself, like Socrates would say, the unexamined life isn't worth living, and ask myself, what do I need? What am I worrying about? What am I fearing? What am I loving? What am I desiring? You know, I'll give you an example. In selling this house, it's been a long struggle, selling the family home that I moved back into with all of these emotions of the people passing away and the money and all that. And, you know, it just hasn't sold exactly when I wanted it to. And in that process, I had to do something that I'm telling everybody else to do, which is sit down with yourself in your own company in the silence of your heart and ask, okay, what's going on here? What's my big fear? Well, the house, what's my situation? I'm selling the house. Well, what's the opposite situation? Well, that would be homeless. Okay, maybe what I need to do is go volunteer at a homeless shelter. And maybe that will help me to be grateful for the problem I have and realize that maybe the problem I think I have isn't a problem. It's just in my mind that it's a problem. And, you know, if my thought is I'm worried about selling the house and the opposite of that is being homeless and not having a house to sell, I go and volunteer at the homeless shelter, and I'll tell you what. That's the medicine that I need to take. And we all need to do that. And we help someone else. We help ourselves. We get a reality check. We get our priorities in order. And we challenge ourselves to see what the truth of a situation is and the truth of who we are. And that is the only way we're going to have peace and happiness inside, because it never comes from someone else's mind. It's never going to come from the coaching session. It's never going to come from reading a book. There is no pill. I'm sorry, folks. There is nobody that has a pill. There's nobody that doesn't have a bad day now and then. But what we all can do is say, hey, I'm not finished yet. I have an opportunity here, and I'm going to grab it, because that is a choice that I can control.
And here's, you know, I always say my Frankieism that opportunities aren't lost, they're not actioned upon. And I think that's so true for so many people. If they say, well, you know, she had the opportunity and I don't. But we all have the opportunity. We, you know, some people act and some people don't. And you started this session, this show with, it's actions. It's actions that speak. You know, it's how you act that determines, you know, your go forward. And being grateful, sitting down with yourself, maybe, you know, before you go to bed, and just think of three things every single day. What are you grateful for today? What were you grateful for? Maybe you were grateful that somebody called you at just the right time, or somebody smiled at you when you thought the world couldn't get any better, you know, or any worse. Or, you know, and sometimes we're here, like you said, you know, at the beginning, that sometimes we're not here for us. And it's so important, you know, to be kind and nice to people, because you don't know the kind of day that they're having. And maybe just that moment when you smiled at them was all they needed to carry on. And you know, I love the idea of that there is a bigger picture. We're not, you know, given the information on it all. We can't see it all. But we can look at our part of that picture and know what we can do. And you're right, the unexamined life. And what's really interesting is that you know, hindsight is 20/20. We can look back on our life. We don't know what's happening forward, but we can look back on our life and look and see where we came from and where we're going. And if you don't like what you've got right now, you have the opportunity to change that reality. And Deb is helping. She's here to help you change that reality. Like she said, you know, if you're not grateful for that roof over your head, go to a homeless shelter. You know, go walk on the street and give coats out to the homeless people lying on the street, because it's bloody cold out there right now. You know, you'd be happy to have a roof over your head when you're freezing your butt off.
You know, compare and despair is a recipe for disaster, and it's never going to taste good. And I tell you, the one thing I've learned in throughout everything is, you know, don't believe everything you think.
Right,
and,
that's true.
And realize that, you know, you can't judge a situation as good or bad in the moment of it happening. I mean, sometimes I sit and I think, you know, I wonder what all those people did or how they felt, like we're talking now. How did the people feel that, you know, created something that created a new piece so that the internet could happen or the phone could happen or the electricity could happen? I mean, if we really stopped and thought about all the things that each one of us enjoys, okay, the cell phones, everybody's on an iPhone, everybody has this. All of those things required hundreds of people, hundreds of actions, hundreds of choices. And here we are, benefit in enjoying these things from people that we've never met. Those people were on a quest to create something, to do something that would make a difference for people that they would never meet. And the same is true for you and I and each one of us listening. Things that we're doing right now in this specific moment in history can be having an effect years from now with people that we'll never meet, that we'll never know. And I think that one of the biggest suggestions that I can give to people, if you at once a day can think about, you know what, understanding is not going to bring you the happiness that you seek. And it's not about knowing how everything is going to turn out.
Right.
That will never bring you the happiness because you can never really know. But you can know that in this moment, if you do that thing that brings you the peace, mm-hmm. that you do the next right thing, that is what will make the difference. And maybe you'll never know how important that decision was that you made in this lifetime or in this side of planet Earth. How many people were terrific artists that couldn't sell their artwork while they were alive, but when they were dead, oh my God, they're multi-million dollar pieces. You know, it's not always the all about me show. It's
right.
the all about we show. And life
right.
is bigger than you or me at this or this moment.
And it for sure is. For sure it is. You know, they say, you know, fearless, regret lives in the past and fear lives in the future. And what we have is right now. Right now we have an opportunity to do something better. And you talk about feeling better. And I know that Abraham, you know, talks about choosing the thought that makes you feel better. If you don't know what that, you know, if you don't know how to feel better, choose the thought, the action that's going to make you feel better in that moment.
Mm.
That's how you know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I think it's not so much feeling better as much as it is feeling the peace. Because I can tell you that most mothers that I know that picked up the puke from their kids throwing up in the middle of the night were not feeling a lot of warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
But again, to me, love is an action word. It's not
right.
so much in the feeling. It's more in the peace of knowing that you're doing the right thing. So that, mm-hmm. you know, the love that you show somebody may not feel really good and it may not be warm and fuzzy, but it's beyond that. I think that it's that inner peace of knowing that what you're doing is the right thing to do in this moment for the right reason. And that's all you have to know. And that inner peace of knowing that you're doing the right thing, you know, whether you feel good about it or you don't feel good about it, it doesn't really matter because the value is in that action. And there's a lot more, to me, power and control in that because my good does not depend on how I feel about it. You know, I may not feel like helping somebody, and somebody may feel like that made their whole day. Well,
right.
what's the truth of the situation? The truth for that person is that they feel great, and
right.
I don't. But does it matter? Does that matter? No, because the power is in that action. The power is in that choice. And the power is in checking your motivation because there's plenty of people, as we know, Frankie, that can do the right thing for appearances, but
right.
underneath they have a personal agenda. And I do think, you know, that karma, what goes around comes around, eventually you know, the truth of things does it does come out.
It does. It really does. You've met a lot of people. You've met a lot of people on your show, Deb. You know, the best people we know. You've cherry picked some amazing people to meet and to introduce to us,
like
your listening audience.
Like you.
Well,
Frankie's been
thank
a guest.
You.
Yay. Love that post-pandemic mojo. Plug, plug, plug.
Thank you so much. But, you know, I mean, that's you started that show for the right reasons. And you know, this show, the Good Radio Network, is about finding people and introducing people to the world who have asked, what can I do? What can I do to change the world, even if I'm one person? What can I do? You know, ask the question. The answer will come. And it doesn't have to be huge and grandiose. It doesn't. It can be, you know, ask your neighbor, shovel their driveway. I mean, that, you know, they're elderly. Just doing something kind for somebody, that's enough to change their world, you know, and make them feel better. And it makes you feel better. And I think that's the whole, people are so, this year especially, I have found people are so depressed. Maybe it's been such a long winter. It's been really cold. There's been horrible things happening in the world. And they're just really feeling the pain of it all. And I really want people, you know, to hear from you, because I really wanted to start the year off with you. You were the original guest for 2015, and through circumstances it didn't happen. And I thought, oh, who's the best person who could start off this year? It's the happiest, most motivating, inspirational person I know, Deb Scott. She's got to start the year off for the Good Radio. And unfortunately it didn't happen, but you get to start, you know, March off, and we're happy about that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so loving it. But, you know, everything happens right on time. And you look at all the things that you've been through and all the challenges that you've had. And, you know, you're one of the happiest people I know. Talk about real inner joy. You're like, get the sunglasses on, girlfriend, because you're radiating all sorts of love. And we're always, and you know what? You're always patient. You're always kind. You're always accepting. You're not judging. You're just like, okay, it'll work when it's going to work. And I think that takes a lot of self-love in a healthy way, to just know that, you know what, there's always a bigger plan than what we see in that moment. And I am more and more convinced that change is such a good thing. I used to resist change, and now I'm like, oh, my God, the only thing I'm afraid of is staying the same. Please,
oh,
do not let me stay the same.
I've always been afraid of that. I love
change. Oh, my God. Don't go there. Bad situation. Could you imagine being the same person that you were like 10 years ago? No. I don't want to be. I am so grateful for the opportunity to learn, to grow, to ask questions. And it's amazing that's one of the best things about aging, I think, that is just that ability to really focus on what matters.
I want to go there for a second, because I think, you know, education is a big part of growth. And you are absolutely amazing, and it blows me away. But not only did you write The Sky Is, you know, The Sky is Green, The Grass Is Blue, but you also wrote Social Media for the Rest of Us, Understanding and Optimizing, you know, the social media. And that's like huge. I mean, you do it amazingly well. I don't know how you do what you do, because it looks like 20 people are doing it. Where did that idea come from, to write that book, to research it, to put it out there? Because you do it so well, Deb.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm very humbled.
You're like the queen
of
it.
You know, I'm. That's
you
real,
are.
That, I appreciate your opinion on that, but trust me, there's always the dissenting group of people that don't always feel that way, and that's another thing that I learned. You know, the new 100% is like 70%, because you'll never please anybody all the time. But the thing is that that's not why you do something. You know, for me, when I was writing the book, when my mother made me promise, you know, she made me promise to finish it before she passed away. So I did that. But here's the thing. I was learning and trying to learn, and I was finding that a lot of these gurus out there that supposedly, quote unquote, had the answers on do it this way or do it that way. You know what? I would try it and I'd be like, I don't know what they're talking about, but that is just not working for me. And I had my web designer, who I still have, Gary Rochelle, he's fabulous. He would not do anything for me. It wasn't like he was going to do my social media. He wasn't even going to, I mean, yeah, he did the web design and all that, but he made me learn how to insert the HTML text. He made me learn how to do all those things that really didn't want to do. And
right.
And the reason for that is because then you have the value to understand what's real and what's not. And I never, I mean, I think I got kicked off of Facebook, I don't know how many times. Twitter, I just hated it. I mean, I was always in jail. I've been in Twitter jail more than anybody. And,
oh, really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, because all the mistakes I made learning. And then I would, like, take these things, all these, you know, they're all over the Internet, free seminar this, free seminar that. Oh, I promised to tell you in 5 minutes. Really? Really? Because
yeah.
You didn't keep your promise. And I just started to learn things, and then Gary would tell me things, and then I would do them, and I would like, oh my gosh, a Twitter list? Oh my gosh, I can find out that people have the fake accounts. Oh my gosh, I can learn about those hashtags. Oh my gosh, I can learn about how to do this on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever. So then,
I'll talk. I've got that book.
All that stuff I was learning, I was finding all these books, and I'm like, seriously, just give me the picture. Tell me how to do it. Tell me why I'm going to do it. And then just show me. And then just, that's it. Just make it simple. Give me the picture. What is it? Why do I need to do it? How do I do it? And just give me the opportunity to easily and effortlessly duplicate this thing. And so doing things for groups, and then I said, you know what? I got to just make a little ebook out of this, you know, for a buck or two. I'll just put it out there and see if it helps somebody.
It's funny how many people don't understand how to use Twitter. And people go, oh, you use Twitter? Oh, I don't even know how to use that. And it's because it's so – like, I went to Fiverr, and I got some girl, and I said, okay, explain Twitter to me because I really don't – I mean, I can read what people are writing, but I don't understand. Like, what's this hashtag, and why would I use it, and what do I do? And she wrote – she goes, here's an agenda. This is what you need to do, but don't do this because people get mad at you. Go, well, what do you mean people are going to get mad at me? There's like this whole rule book. I didn't understand it at all. And after she got finished, I was even more confused.
Yeah,
like,
well,
oh,
just don't worry about it, because as soon as you think you got something figured out, it'll change. And ultimately, you know, it's what works for you. But it does help. To me, I like things that are really simple.
I like to
learn visually. So show me the picture.
Yeah.
And tell me why I'm doing it. I don't want to just do something for the sake of doing it. I want to know, what is this going to mean for me? Like, you know, if you have a book, you have a radio show, you want to know how to reach people, you can have the best message in the world, but if nobody can find you, you're not going to help anybody.
Right.
And
I don't
Twitter,
want 100,000 people following me that don't care. I don't.
So, but I mean, it doesn't, it's, you know, this whole idea of the numbers game,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's got to go, because one of the things I learned on social media was, like probably a lot of things in real life, people can say one thing but be something totally different. People can have 100,000 followers. Well, it's easy to buy 100,000 followers.
Right.
That's not going to really get you any numbers. But guess what? There's things like clout. There's things like cred. Those types of systems that filter out the people that buy things from the people that actually earned those things. So there are people that might have a couple thousand followers, and they're so much more effective because those couple thousand people, they're real. They've been appreciated. They've been respected. They've been listened to. They actually respond. They trust what you have to say. They'll be interested in a call to action, and it's mutually beneficial. You know, that's going to create the result. So I guess it gets to the question, is your ego needing to have 200,000 followers, like, you know, or a million like Kim Kardashian, or you
right.
know, is it because you want to really make a difference and connect with real people and have real value? And you know what? Things every day you do a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, there's this many listeners or this many followers or this many readers. I mean, my first radio show, I don't know how many years ago, I was so excited to have 5 people listening. That was like,
right.
wow,
right.
What a big deal.
Tell people how to get this. Tell people how to get your books. So social media for the rest of us. If you are listening and social media is an issue for you, which it is for me, then you're going to want to download this ebook. And I do have your ebook, and I have all your books. The grass is green, the sky is blue. The grass is green, the grass is blue. They're on Amazon. They are in hard copy and soft copy, correct?
Hard copy, soft copy, and ebook, Kindle, for The Sky is Green, The Grass is Blue in Motivation and Self-Help. And the social media for the rest of us, it's just an ebook on Amazon, so there's no paperback on that one. But debscott.com, if you go to debscott.com, which I didn't know how many Deb Scotts there were in the world till I tried to secure domain name. Oh my God, that took me years to get. Years to get that, because I'd been doing greenskyandbluegrass.com forever. But now that I have debscott.com, it's very easy. You can just go there, and then all the links to everything are there.
I just know when I see you with the blonde hair and the pink shirt, that's our Deb.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I love, like, your beautiful new image, and I love all that, the new photography and beautiful girl that you are. And Gary keeps saying, so we're going to get some updated pictures. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not so sure anybody would recognize me without the big hair. What will happen if I don't have the big hair picture with the pink shirt? It'll be like my branding will be gone. I mean, seriously.
Know.
And it's the bigger the hair, the closer to God, the bigger the hair. So,
you should have been from Nashville. Yeah, that's so funny.
Hilarious. But, you know, hey. It always works. And, you know, I think that the thing is we just have to be grateful that we're here, grateful for this moment. And I just really have been blessed by you, and I'm just very grateful that you asked me to be on the show, and I'm so excited that you've been on the Best People We Know show, and you'll be coming back. But, you know, one of the things that I respect about you is that you walk your talk. And I know that, you know, you've been through your own personal challenges this year and your family and things, but you've always had grace, and you've always had style, and you've always had trust. And,
as have you.
That's contagious.
This is my show, and I'm talking about you. Stop deflecting.
God. You got to love us. Love us. Global group hug. Feeling the love.
Exactly. You're doing something new. God. You got something new coming up with Dr. Alex. What's that all about?
Oh, my gosh. You are so funny. Now, wow. Seriously, folks, I mean, I did not even ask her to even plug that. Dr. Alex, are you here? Talk about feeling the love. All right, so Dr. Alex and I are going to do this thing called Deb and Dr. Alex. And very innovative, isn't it? Dr. Alex and I, we're going to do this thing called Deb and Dr. Alex. And it's really just about taking complex information and just bringing it down into simple, straightforward, actionable items in just a couple minutes. So it's all about those teaching things that we all want to know that seem so difficult, and I'm going to make them easy. And the reason we could do that is because Dr. Alex is like MD, PhD. I've never met a human being with so many things by her name. I don't even know what half of them are. But she's so intelligent. She's just won so many awards in the Royal Psychology Today, UK. I mean, she's just unbelievable. But we had done so many radio shows every month for a year, and they were always really a big hit because it seemed to be that combination of the science with the spirituality. So that's what we're hoping to bring, is creating some courses, seminars, not too long, not too short, but really taking things that matter with real tips that you can trust, that we deliver what we promise, because that, to me, is the key. And if you
can't, when you talk about bringing this information down, though, like what kind of information are you going to be delivering?
Well, for example, she could write papers on neuroplasticity. Okay?
Okay.
Neuroplasticity I can't even pronounce half the words that she uses. Right. So what we're going to do is take those complex truths okay?
Uh-huh.
And together we're going to take those things that you don't have to be an MD to understand. You don't have to be a PhD to get, but you're going to enjoy the benefit of it.
So is this a health show? What is it?
We're going to be creating seminars, books, courses. We're going to do things live. We're going to do things online. We're going to create lots of different vehicles to get this information out to people. And we're going to pick timely topics, things that are of interest.
But
it's basically going to be so, you know, like social media for the rest of us, it'll be like, okay, cerebral information in the science world for the rest of us that want to make that bridge to the science and the spirituality into everyday living.
Okay. I got it. Cool. Very cool. And when is this happening?
And fun. And it'll be fun.
Yeah.
You know, so like the science behind things is so involved, and you can't, you know, we're not all going to read, you know, PhD books that are 500 pages, but Dr. Alex has so much experience, and together we're just going to really bring things into a place where, you know, we can digest it all and really enjoy the nutritional benefits of it. The food
That's
for thought with the free with the mind vitamins.
The mind vitamins. Tell us about the mind vitamins.
The mind vitamins.
That's
a whole other thing. The free mind vitamin ebook that I have, you can get that at devscott.com. Mind vitamin minutes. You know, I really love that spiritual food for thought because you are what you eat. You are what you tweet. It's all what you put in your head.
I love that. You are what you eat. You are what you tweet. I love it.
I mean, it's just amazing to me how one thought can change your entire life.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it's about, getting that whole new way of thinking, that little bite-sized mind vitamin. You know, we're on Twitter, and I love Twitter, as you know, and one of the things that I love about Twitter are quotes. And it's like that little quote, 140 characters, it's like, wow, I read that, and it's like an instant, snap of a finger. You know, but vitamins, you can't just take them once a day. You can't take a B12 once a month and expect to get the benefits. You know, you got to be consistent. You got to take them on a regular basis. You got to shower every day. You got to brush your teeth. You got to take your mind vitamins. You got to eat your food. You got to do your exercise. And all those good habits, you know, they just become something that you just naturally do on a regular basis. And then one day, that drama, that stress, that anxiety, that person that drove you crazy, all of a sudden you're not affected by it. It's not an emotional trigger. It didn't push your button and you say, you know what? I really have changed. So you just keep doing the next right thing. And one day the result will happen and you'll have the peace that you seek. But just do the right thing. Be more concerned with being the right person. Be more concerned with getting along with yourself, and then you'll get along with other people. Don't expect somebody else to love you if you can't love yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Which is really difficult to do. Loving yourself sometimes can be very hard. You know, I was reading a book the other day because somebody had recommended it, and, you know, people know a lot about their inner child, and this book was talking about the outer child, which I thought was kind of brilliant because it seemed to be the missing link. So the missing link is that, you know, we all nurture that inner child, which is our little five-year-old baby that we can love and hug. But the outer child's kind of the rebel. That's the teenage child who is, you know, your saboteur, who says, eat that cake. You really want it, even though you're trying to lose 50 pounds. It's the one that, you know, tries to break all the rules when you're trying to stick to them. And by talking to that outer child, it's kind of like, oh, okay. So I've nurtured my inner and things aren't working, but if I talk to the outer one, and, you know, because they love attention, good or bad, it's attention. So I'll discuss this with them and tell them that, you know, they're almost an adult, but they're not quite the adult. So the adult is going to take charge again, and I'm going to do what I need to do. The idea of consistency, like when you are trying to change things, and change habits, you're rerouting that automatic neuron that says, I'm going to go and do this like I normally do, and you're creating a new deer path in your brain, and it takes consistency to build that rut of the new way of doing things. But once you create that rut, then that becomes your go-to path. And so that old path that made you do bad things is now passé, and the new path that has you eating well and taking your mind vitamins and doing the right thing, that becomes your new way of doing things. And very soon, like you said, it's what you do. It's the new action and the go-to action.
Yeah, well, it's like I have heard that in different ways, but what you're saying is so elegant. And, you know, that whole idea that the river's only going to follow the path that the ground has dug out. If you spend your time digging the ground out, the water will automatically flow. So those habits are more important. And, you know, I just wanted to say one last thing, because I know we're running here out of time. You know, one of the hardest things for me, and one of the most important things for me in that self-love, in that humility, is when I'm at my worst, when I'm the person that I like the least, when I'm the person that I love the most, I have to recognize that, you know what, it's sort of like, but by the grace of God go I, that idea that, you know what, we're all just one step away from being the person that we dislike the most, or the person that we love the least. You know, ego and my pride gets mad at myself when I fail, or I say, oh, I should know better, or I should have known that, or I can't believe I did that again. You know, that's when I have to pause and say, you know what, God, I'm no surprise to you, and you love me anyway, so I guess I can do the same. You know what, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to recognize that I still need help with that, and to know that I have another chance to grow. And then when I do have that success in overcoming something that I've been working on, or to act a little better, I can say, you know what? Thank you so much, God. That's great. That's progress. And then when I fail, it's like, okay, I can work on that again. But to realize, you know, if God is the sunshine and everybody can get the same spiritual suntan, if God loves everybody the exact same way, then why are there Mother Teresa's in the world, and why are there Ted Bundy's? You know, why are there people, you know, killing others and ripping off their heads, and other people tirelessly volunteering, you know,
to
help?
Equally.
Right. You know, and if they're loved equally. And the reason is, I believe, is because it has to be that response and that acknowledgement and that ability to be open to receive. If I want to put water in my glass, the glass must be empty. I must be empty to receive all the love that God wants to give me. And how do I do that? I have to weed it out of my heart, the poisonous things that are strangling it, just like I get out there in the dirt weeding out my garden. And that takes time, that takes a decision, that takes a choice. And for me, the quickest and easiest way to do that is to pray. And praying for other people, praying for myself, praying in thanksgiving, it doesn't matter. It's a conversation with God. Why? Because I have to believe that there's something else out there that knows more than me to have the ability to pray. And that's the humility.
I got to stop you, because I got to make sure that I say, Deb Scott has been my guest today. Her book, The Sky is Green, The Grass is Blue, is a four-time award-winning. She's a four-time award-winning author. She has, check her out. You know what? She's going to make you happy. She's going to make you so happy. And if you become her friend on Facebook, she will send you these motivational quotes and beautiful pictures. And it's just going to make your day. So please become her friend. And watch for her on Twitter, because she's a Twitter expert, because she wrote a book. She wrote the book Social Media for the Rest of Us, Understanding and Optimizing Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google+, which nobody understands. So I'm glad that you do. Deb, I love you so much. Thank you. You got 20
love
seconds.
You too. Thank you.
Bye, my friend.
Thank you so much. Lots
thank
of love. Bye.
Listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye now. Wherever you are in the world today, I thank you. for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.